Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January the 7th. And sort of a chilly evening, not real cold, but just a little bit chilly here in North Texas. We're going to talk today about some new developments with respect to the impeachment proceedings. It appears that Senator McConnell has all the votes necessary to go forward without having witnesses, almost a replay of what was done 20 years ago with President Clinton. It also appears that some Democrats want to keep on impeaching President Trump. I'm sure that's going to go over real well with a lot of Americans who I think are pretty much fed up with all this investigation stuff. And President Trump was on the Rush Limbaugh show, and I thought that was a very interesting appearance. But we're going to move all of that to the side for a minute here and talk about the big story, what developed this evening, and that is these attacks on U.S. air bases in Iraq, Iranian attacks coming from the country of Iran, coming from the territory of Iran, and basically attacking bases, American bases, two at least American bases. There's a third one that is ironically closer to Iran, but that was not hit. The big, big one is the one that was not touched. The other two, much smaller bases, those were the two who were hit. And as of right now, we have no American casualties. There does appear to be, and again, this is unconfirmed just from watching news reports, there appears that some Iraqi soldiers were killed, but no American soldiers killed, no damage of any consequence to the American base. And we were wondering if President Trump was going to speak to the nation tonight. That's not going to happen. Apparently, they've pulled back on that. That's not going to happen. The president is not going to speak to the nation tonight. Now, that could mean a lot of different things, and all I can do is speculate, obviously. But it could mean that they're not going to take this attack very seriously, meaning they're just going to say, okay, you got your missiles in, you didn't do any harm. You can go back to your people and say, hey, look, we retaliated, and that's the end of the story. So that's one possibility, that this thing will pass and nobody will remember it in 24 hours, especially since there were no Americans killed. It could also mean that there's something coming later, that President Trump is simply going to wait a little bit more time to see if there are more attacks. The big story that we were hearing all day today, or this evening, was whether or not this was an isolated attack or a number of attacks, you know, a timeline of attacks that were going to be coming all throughout the evening and into the early morning here in North America. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. And my guess is that the White House could be waiting for that to happen. Look, if there's a military retaliation, they've got most of those targets identified. They spend, weeks, and they've got this thing so planned. They've got all the targets identified. The planes know exactly where they're going to go. So this thing is pretty much already on the table. All you have to do is to have the President of the United States say, do it, and it's going to get done pretty quickly because the hardware is actually pretty close to Iran. We've got, you know, Navy ships in the Mediterranean with plenty of firepower. I would assume we've got submarines. I don't assume. I know we do. We have submarines in the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf capable of some pretty rough damage. And, of course, we got B-52s and B-2s, the bombers, that can get over there fairly quickly from different locations in the region and outside the region. So a military response would not take a lot. I mean, everything's in place. That's what I'm trying to say. Everything's pretty much in place. These attacks are practiced, and they play with these not like war games. Well, that's what they are, war games. I guess that's the right word. And they've got this thing pretty much down to a T. And all they need is the go. Once President Trump says go, they could be hitting these targets overnight. We could wake up tomorrow morning and hear of a bunch of targets that were hit. So we don't know what President Trump is going to do. He obviously raised expectations a couple of days ago when he talked about the 52 targets. If they hit us, we've got 52. So I understand that, and I understand that he raised those expectations. I also think that given the attack so far, and again I say so far because there could be a lot more coming overnight. So I'm just saying the attack so far. Given the attack so far, we may not do anything. We may just say, okay, you got your missiles in, no big deal. And that may just be President Trump's way of saying, hey, we're not going to go to war with you over this. And that may also be Iran's way of saying, hey, we retaliated, and now we're not going to hit you anymore. So, there's a lot of balls in the air. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So I don't know where it's all going to go. All I can tell you is as of 8 p.m. Central Time, not much is happening after those missiles hit Iraq. And if you see the missiles, too, if you see the films or the videos of the missiles, we don't even know if those are the actual missiles that landed because, as I understand, this is coming from the Iranian news service. So, I mean, we don't even know if those were the missiles that they fired. We do know, feel pretty comfortable about the fact that there were no American casualties. And I think that may very well be the tipping point. Had there been American casualties, maybe he would have been, President Trump would have been forced to retaliate, but we'll see. We'll see. This is not over. This is a story that will go on, I think, potentially, for a little bit longer. So I wouldn't say much tonight other than just President Trump is not going to address the nation tonight. That's all I can tell you. And what happens Wednesday, well, you and I will find out together. And we're going to try to do a show about all of this, by the way, on Wednesday. We're going to try to maybe take a look at the military implications of all of this and go from there. Well, this afternoon, getting back home here, talking about impeachment for a second. This afternoon, Senator McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, basically said that he's got the votes to do an impeachment, or at least the 51 votes, to start the process of impeachment. And what that means is this is going to be a repeat, frankly, of what was done in the Clinton impeachment, where, you know, they just put through, they started the process by simply having a majority vote that said, we're going to hear the presentations first, and then we're going to decide on witnesses later. That's the way it was done back then. And apparently Senator McConnell has the votes right now to do the same thing, which is probably smart. And that's the way it's going to be. Now, of course, the real question right now is, are the articles going to come over? And that raises all kinds of questions, too, because, you know, there are several senators who are saying, hey, if the articles don't come over, let's just dismiss the whole thing. Senator Hawley of Missouri is proposing that. And then there are others who are saying, well, we'll just do our own trial. Well, I don't know how you're going to do your own trial if you don't have, you know, if you don't have the articles indicting the president. Basically, the articles are like the indictment of President Trump. So it's a real mess. It's a real mess. That much I can tell you, and I'm not sure where this is going because we've never been in a place like this before. I remember the Clinton situation. In fact, ironically, and I saw this today, the Clinton trial began exactly today, 20 years ago. So just to compare the two, the Clinton trial and the potential Trump trial, the Clinton trial, the managers were in place, everything was in place, exactly 20 years ago. So in other words, as soon as the Congress got back to work, the trial began. Well, here we are 20 years later, and the articles are nowhere to be found. Well, we'll see what happens. What is really hysterical, I mean, this is crazy. You now have some Democrats who are saying that they should go back and impeach him again. I guess they're going to come up with something else to impeach him on. which is truly insane. I mean, I just don't know who is managing this party, who's telling this party what to do. I don't see any great yearning out there in the American people to hold more impeachment proceedings. I mean, I don't know. I don't see that. But some of these Democrats, I guess they have to say impeachment, and they have to keep feeding their angry base all of this anti-Trump stuff because, you know, the base, I guess, is not happy, and they want to hear more of it. So there was a congressman from California who was saying, well, we need to do more impeachment because of what just happened in Iran when they shot this military guy. No, we don't. Drop it, please. Drop the impeachment thing. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking a little bit about On This Day in History, but I wanted to put in a plug for my friend Carlos Guedes, who is the musician that you hear in our show. We have a link to his website as well as a link to his schedule. So if you live in the Dallas area, you want to go out and hear some nice music, check out my friend Carlos Guedes. On This Day in History, this is an interesting one. On This Day in History, January the 7th, 1959. This would be roughly about a week after Batista fled Cuba. The United States recognized the new government of Cuba. It was not really a new government per se, because it was simply the president of Cuba, whoever was next in line became president of Cuba, became the temporary president of Cuba, interim president. And that was a fellow by the name of Urrutia, President Urrutia, who became the interim president of Cuba. And then about a month later, Castro was named prime minister of Cuba. And that's, well, we kind of know the rest of that story. And how exactly he became prime minister is something that I'm not real clear on. And I've asked my dad many times about this. My dad, of course, passed away 4 years ago. But I often asked him about this. And I said, well, how did he become prime minister? I mean, he had no legal position or no constitutional position. He was simply a revolutionary. And my dad said, well, he was the popular man at the time, and he had the popular support, and they basically just gave it to him. And that, of course, turned out to be a big mistake, because we know what happened to Cuba after that particular designation of Castro as the prime minister of Cuba. Well, President Trump was on the Rush Limbaugh program on Monday, the Rush Limbaugh radio show, that is. And he was on there for the last 30 minutes of the third hour of the show. I had an opportunity to listen to much of it live here in Dallas. If you have not heard it, I'm sure it's available on the Internet, maybe the Rush Limbaugh page. I don't know. I haven't seen it there, but I'm sure you could probably find it there or somewhere else. It was about a 20-minute interview. And it was a obviously a pretty easy interview for the president. There wasn't really much of an interview in the sense that he was getting a lot of questions. It was kind of a conversation that he and Rush were having. Now, it's fair to say that Rush Limbaugh is a big supporter of President Trump, so it was not a difficult interview. There were no tough, hard questions, let's say, that he got. So in that sense, of course, maybe it wasn't really an interview. It was more of a conversation that Russia and the president had. But, you know, President Obama had meetings like this or interviews like this when he was president, and, you know, it's just the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, you go to a program where you have a friendly host, and that's just the way it works. But I think overall it was a very effective interview or conversation for President Trump. He got to basically project or explain why he did what he did in Iran, and why he ordered the killing of that fellow, the number two guy. And I think it was very effective the way he explained it. I'm sure the reason he went to Rush Limbaugh is because he knows Rush has the listeners. He's got millions of people who listen to that show. And also, I think, you know, the way radio is, you can quickly and effectively reach people at any moment. They just happen to be driving or sitting and listening to the show. So I thought overall it was a good presentation by Rush and President Trump. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.